2 weeks ago, we read in the first lesson about the call of the prophet Jeremiah. And today we see Jeremiah in action, fulfilling his mission to be a pillar of iron and a wall of brass against a nation lost in sin, his own nation, the people of Israel. The Lord sent Jeremiah to admonish his people against their infidelities to the covenant and to warn them that their grave transgressions of the law and love of God would cost them everything. And in Jeremiah's preaching, the contrast between the way of righteousness and the way of lawlessness is stark. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt, an empty earth. But by way of contrast, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of the drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit." Jeremiah spent 40 years proclaiming the word of God and calling the people back to the covenant the Lord made with their fathers, but he failed. The corruption of the nation was so deep and widespread that even a powerful prophet sent by God could not turn the hearts and minds of the people to the truth of the revealed word of God, and the result was calamity. Jeremiah lived to see Jerusalem conquered and the temple destroyed, but he was allowed to remain in Judah by the victorious Babylonians even after the captivity began. Jeremiah, however, was finally taken to Egypt as a prisoner of his own people. And one ancient tradition says that in Egypt, Jeremiah was stoned to death by his exiled countrymen because they were tired of his preaching against their sin. And yet, more than 2,500 years later, we are still reading Jeremiah's words and learning from his wisdom. "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. While blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord." Friends, like the kingdom of Judah 600 years before Christ, we are a nation lost in unrighteousness. And over and over and over again, we turn away from the law and love of God and face calamity. Children by the millions are murdered in their mothers' wombs in the name of choice. People are judged by the color of their skin rather than by the content of their character. And this is claimed with cruel irony to be in the name of diversity, inclusion, and equity. Men who don't want to be men demand that we pretend that they can become women. And those who will not comply with this fantasy are hounded from public life and even from private employment. Political life, public information, higher education, and popular entertainment are reduced to bread and circuses. What started in our universities as defining deviancy down has turned into the violent denial in our streets that an eternal moral law even exists. And those with greatest influence in our culture demand first the acceptance and then the celebration of degeneracy as the highest good of individual autonomy and personal expression. But what does the word of God say? The psalmist sings, "Blessed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord, and meditates on his law day and night. But, by contrast, not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. Friends, walking according to the Word of God is the only path of authentic freedom and flourishing. And while it is never easy to stand apart from the herd, that is the way of those who follow the Lord Jesus. It is the way of the cross. But to follow that way requires of us an understanding of the paradox at the heart of all discipleship. To lose one's life for the sake of Christ and his gospel is to find it. And explaining one dimension of that paradox is what we see the Lord Jesus doing in the gospel today in the Sermon on the Plain. St. Matthew describes a similar sermon on the Mount, but St. Luke places this discourse on a wide stretch of level ground where a giant crowd gathered to hear Jesus preach and hope for his healing touch. As with Jeremiah and the psalmist, the Lord Jesus compares and contrasts two ways of life, and following the higher and better way is difficult and demands sacrifice. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. And then, by way of contrast, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Now here the Lord Jesus is not teaching that being prosperous is wicked, or that being poor is virtuous. Human dignity requires that we meet the needs of our bodies with decent food and clothing and shelter, just as we must feed our souls with goodness and truth and beauty. And so the Lord Jesus is not suggesting that we should live in deprivation or squalor as a path to holiness. But Christ is saying that living for pleasure always ends in misery, that living without concern for the needs of others is empty and unsatisfying, and that living without divine grace is meaningless. Moreover, no life which is lived in contradiction to the Word of God, however satisfying it may be in various ways, can finally be a life worthy of the children of God. While a life lived in keeping with the Word of God, no matter what sacrifices it may demand, is finally the only life worth living. And more than that, the Lord Jesus teaches that being wealthy and healthy, beautiful and popular, are not signs of a divine blessing, while being poor and sick, plain and lonely, are not signs of a divine curse. Christ teaches rather that the path of blessedness, which always includes earthly suffering, is found only in fidelity to the Word of God, while the path of wretchedness, which does include worldly benefits, is found in rebellion against the Word of God. True wisdom is found in knowing the difference between these two paths and in having the courage to make the correct choices, especially when righteousness is costly, because it is rejected and despised by the multitudes who follow false prophets. Friends, on the day of our baptism, we were each called by name, just as was Jeremiah, to be witnesses with our words and with our lives to the liberating truth of the Word of God. And being faithful to that call will cost us everything we have to give, and may result, as it did for Jeremiah, in our being dropped down a well or stoned by our own countrymen, even if only metaphorically. But fidelity to the Word of God is the only path to righteousness, the only path to beatitude, and the only path to a life filled with the blessings of knowing, loving, and serving the Word of God made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ.